Better Business Bureau.
Two Pentagon police officers sadly shot outside a metro station right in that Pentagon area. The suspect also taken down. We got all the details coming up around the bend on that one. Remember the teenager we told you about whose body was found in California, sadly, Chelsea King. The murder suspect in that one, who shouldn't have been released for a previous crime, was being investigated for a couple of others. Yikes. 911 calls as the debate rages in a lot of states over whether or not they should be released to the public. In other words, well, to the media so that you can hear them. Often they are played on local news stations and radio stations. And here in America Tonight, we've certainly played some 911 calls. In fact, we're going to play the 911 calls that have now been released in that terrible SeaWorld trainer's death. Remember the killer whale. But you might not be able to hear them in the near future. Just depends on the state. Also on this show, since we're always talking heavy politics and things that make our hair stand up straight, I guess, as it were, almost like we have buzz cuts, all of us. I've had that happen to me. Trust me, that effect. The expression is your hair's on fire, I guess, is the proper way to say that. We're going to swing into some lighter fare because the Oscars are coming up this week, and some of us escape to the movies, right, to forget for a while. So we'll do some Oscar stuff. Plus, what are the movies that are being released this weekend? Alice in Wonderland, Brooklyn's Finest. That looks like a rough cut. And The Secret of the Kells, probably a little kid-oriented, but all that stuff and so much more. And, of course, the raging debate, the one we really care about, where time is tick, 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 ticking away on. That would be health care reform. Does Obama get his way and legislation roll through with reconciliation? Or ultimately, is it stopped? And what truly is the will of the people? Wow. Sounds like a jam-packed four fat hours on ATM. Welcome to the show, and I am Kate Delaney, the host of this baby, if you just tuned in coast to coast and everywhere in between. Let's start with the Pentagon deal. I think I was sitting on the couch for a few minutes today and caught the initial shots have been fired at the Pentagon, and I always say I have this reaction. It's like, oh, I just catch my breath and think, please, let's hope nobody is hit in this case. So you have a man who calmly approaches what they would call the gathering area or screening area, really the screening area outside of the Pentagon. And this happens Thursday night where there'd be a lot of people around, and opens fire, hits two Pentagon police officers. They return the fire, so they critically wound him. It happened, just before 7 o'clock. The man had no emotion whatsoever, they say, on his face. People that recalled him brushing by and just went up and decided that he was going to make a move for his weapon, did, and started shooting. But luckily, the officers immediately, they were a few feet away. He drew the gun. Everybody was on alert, and they were able to return fire pretty quickly. So as soon as this happens, the Pentagon is shut down. I mean, it is shut down because that's what you have to do. What's going on here? Who's involved? All that sort of stuff. And the key thing is because they could neutralize him so quickly, he could have hurt many more people, and he did not. So their response was amazingly on time, on target. They knew exactly what to do, which of course they're trained to do, but it's sort of like you can fall asleep at the wheel a little bit when nothing happens, and then it's that one moment that some idiot comes up and he doesn't look harmful, and you're locked in gunfire, and that's what happens. So the Pentagon entrances are locked up. Kind of just briefly, I don't know, it's probably about a half an hour or so from what I understand. And you send all three people to George Washington Hospital, both officers and the suspect. Now the question is, okay, so what was this beef? What's the deal? and you've got the Secret Service involved, the FBI involved, and the Pentagon is one of the largest office buildings in the world. And I know you all realize this. You just see pictures of it, and I guess you have to go there to understand it, I think. I mean, you're talking about three times the floor space of the Empire State Building. And more importantly, it's who's inside. We've been there once before, remember, with the plane. So you have 23,000 mix of people between civilian folks and military who work there. And the amount of space that I just mentioned encompasses 17.5 miles of quarters. A person can walk between any of the points in that building in no more than 7 minutes. So what do we know? What do we know about this guy? What do we know about the possible motive, any of that kind of stuff? Is he just some lunatic with a gun, somebody just out venting for no particular reason? Was there an objective here? We don't know at this point. It's so early in the game as to why he made that move and what possibly could be behind it. See, automatically our heads go to terrorism, plants, just a nut, and the FBI is investigating it like a terrorist attack, But were there more people involved in this? And that's the other part of it, because there were rumors that there were more people involved. There were more people. He was sort of the decoy and the first pass, and that there were two others that were supposed to follow. Now, is that just nonsense, or is it true? And this is all that's being flushed out right now at this point. But well, what a way to, you know, end the day. To have this happen at the Pentagon. We'll talk more about some of what is suspected and some of what I've heard coming up later this hour. Also want to throw this at you. You think of these, I see these boats. I've been down to Galveston, and I've never been on a cruise ship to actually go on a cruise, but you see them, and they're giant. Some of them are just giant, and you can't imagine that anything could get to them. And you've heard this, right? He had these incredibly high waves in the Mediterranean. Two people were killed and 14 other people were injured on a boat. You don't think of that happening. You had flooded cabins, windows that broke in restaurants. People were screaming, running for their lives. Three massive waves in a row, killing these people and injuring the others. And it happened when they hit rough seas in this, you know, in this huge boat. I mean, just a huge cruise ship. It was called the Cypriot, and it was carrying over 1,300 passengers and 580 crew folks off the coast of northeastern Spain. And the witnesses describe it as just like this wall of water. Almost like the Poseidon Adventure. Remember when you saw those waves? I mean, that was a movie, but you saw those giant waves when you were a kid. Maybe you weren't a kid then, but I was. And I was like, whoa, look at that boat, that tiny boat. That's exactly what happened to the folks in Spain. I can't believe more people weren't washed off the deck. Hang with us. We're going to learn how to cook a steak next with Rick Wells.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
"Then the angel said to him, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines."
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation. Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture Products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4882. 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture Products today.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So Ben, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just three capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Went out to dinner. I'm one of those people, I'm a pretty decent cook. I like to think I'm a pretty decent cook, but I like to eat out. I like to get waited on and, you know, enjoy the ambiance and just chill for 5 minutes. So it's weird the hit some restaurants, it's not weird, it's sad that a lot of restaurants have taken some big hits because of the economy, but I understand from some friends in New York who own a restaurant that things are starting to turn around, and they've done some deals and made some pretty good offers and specials to the people. And also, I just talked earlier in the day to a friend who's a brand new restaurateur in Los Angeles. And funny enough, he was a guy who just, you know, he knew how to make some good meals. He was a contractor, and he decided to his whole life he wanted to own a restaurant, and he saved every penny. I mean, just blue collar Dave, and now he's got his own place, and it's going fine. But it's again the deal and the dance with the people in the area is what he tells me. So it's probably different all over the place. And some of you are listening to me in Kentucky and Illinois and Connecticut, so you know what I mean. You have favorite haunts, places that you like to go, and some places you'd like to try. Are you finding that they're making some good offers for you to get you to come in? Because, you know, probably a decade ago, I mean, restaurants were just jammed. It seemed like nobody even ever cooked. So it had to be pretty sweet for the people who own those establishments. Well, and you know, I'm a big steak chick. I'm all about the beef, and I'm not afraid to say it for all the vegetarians that are always pounding me about that. So I'm thrilled to have a successful restaurateur on this show with us. His name is Rick Wells, and he's actually owns a couple of places. And most notably, if you are ever in McKinney, Texas, for people listening to us in Texas and around Texas, but if you even get in this area, a lot of guys back east I know coming on business, you have to check out Rick's Chop House. I understand it's the best steak in town. Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm fine, Kate. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Now, you heard what I said. It's has it been a bounce back? What have you found? You're somebody who's not new to this game. Was I right about that? Like, you know, 11, 10 years ago, it seemed like nobody even cooked. Everybody was eating out.
Well, definitely 10 years ago, it was kind of a heyday for restaurants for sure. So the last couple of years have definitely been a stretch for most restaurateurs in the country. Fortunately for us in McKinney, McKinney's 25 miles north of Dallas. We haven't had it as tough as most people, but we've definitely saw a slowdown in our business.
So when you've got people that are counting, you know, you have vendors, you have waiters, waitresses, all that kind of stuff. So and plus yourself and your family, you got to feed a bunch of people. What is it that you do to try to keep things rolling? If you're just, you know, if you've seen a little bit of a slowdown in the business, what do you do?
You know, the biggest thing that we do, Kate, is what I call Southern hospitality. I mean, we make you feel welcome when you come into our restaurants, and we take this really, really good care of you. And because of that, I think people come back. You know, we do a pretty extensive system that we know people's names. We know, you know, where their kids go to college, you know, what their favorite things are. And we try to go above and beyond when you walk into our door to kind of know who you are and know what you like. And that's from pulling the chairs out, opening the doors, but really just kind of to get to know our consumer. And because of that, I think people come back to our restaurants.
So the tip is then you have to go, you have to really go that extra mile. You can't slack off in any area, because if people have less money to spend, you want to make it a big deal that they'll come back to you.
You know, big time. You know, it was funny when the economy started kind of going, you know, south a few years ago, you read a lot of stuff about how restaurants were getting back to service. And, you know, I would read those things and was going, well, why did they ever leave? You know, and they left because of what you talked about before I got on the phone with you. They left because so many people were coming that they got away from taking great care of the guest. You know, when you go out to eat, you definitely want to have a good meal, but you want to be taken care of.
Right.
You know, I mean, you want to be, you know, you want the waiter to think about things before you need them and just kind of be there. And you know, I think restaurants were kind of going through a time where they forgot to really why people came out. They came out for a good meal, but they also came out to be taken care of and be served. And I think as an industry, we kind of got away from that. And thank goodness, you know, our company didn't, mainly because we've invested a lot of money. And I've built 18 restaurants around the country and been doing this since I was 12 years old. And I'm 48, so I've been doing it for 36 years. And I really always believe that the best thing that makes people come back, or the number one thing that makes people come back, is service to the guest.
Well, so you've been doing this since you were 13. So this was your passion from the get go. Did you just like to hang out and watch everybody cook when you were a kid? what got you down this alley? How did you go in this direction?
You know, my parents, like I say, bought their first restaurant when I was 12 years old, and I was raised in kitchens. And I was raised on dining room floors. And so as I grew up, it became a passion of mine to go out and build restaurants. And it's kind of my creative, you know, outlet as well, to build and to have people walk into your restaurants and go, you know, kind of stretch their imagination, so to speak. Rather that being in a building that was, you know, the Chop House is in a building that's 125 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that artistic freedom that we have. But, yes, I've been doing it a long time.
So then you probably know how to make a really good steak, don't you?
I make the best steaks in Texas.
Oh, I'm starving just listening to you say that. Well, you have to give us a secret. Give me a secret. If I don't have time to run down to your place and everybody in Kentucky doesn't have time to get there, what's the difference? Is it the cut of the meat? I grew up back east, and so it was about going to the butcher, and the butcher, it was always about the cut of meat. Is it the cut of meat to start with?
Going back to butchers, and most people don't go to butchers anymore, so they don't have that relationship with somebody that can really talk to them a lot about their beef. And really, a good cut of meat is it's done before you start cooking it. It really is. It's a cut of meat. How, you know, how is the product handled? Was it aged correctly? We wet age our beef 28 days. And we have very strong relationships with two vendors. There's only two people that I buy all my beef from. And so that relationship and getting a good cut of beef is key to an outstanding steak.
Okay, so I'm all about the filet. I'm a filet person. I know that's, you know, that's a girly thing, I guess. Although I know a lot of men that like filets instead of the ribeyes and stuff. But what would you, should you salt it down before you throw it in the pan, or what would you say?
Well, you know, definitely a steak needs a little love, and we call it a little love salt and pepper. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to take, if I'm grilling at home, I'm going to take my steaks out about an hour mm-hmm. before I cook them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to salt and pepper them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let them get almost kind of room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to make that steak cook a lot more even mm-hmm. and a lot better on the grill.
Mm.
So that's a little tip that a lot of people don't do.
Oh,
don't,
that's my first mistake.
They don't pull their steaks out and let them, you know, kind of get to almost room temperature, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't do that. That's funny that you said that. It's right, put the butter in the pan, salt it, and pepper it, and I've never left it out, ever.
Yeah, and that's a good idea. I mean, when I say room temperature, it's obviously not going to get to room temperature in an hour, but, you know, just to pull that steak out maybe 30, 45 minutes or an hour before you cook it,
uh-huh.
salt and pepper it,
uh-huh.
you'll be amazed how the difference of the taste profile that steak has because you've done that small little technique.
All right, tips from Rick. Rick, thanks for coming on the show, and I wish you continued success and to all the restaurateurs out there that are making it a difference every day, I guess.
Kate, thank you for having me on. And when you get close to Dallas, come see me in McKinney. I would love to cook you a steak.
All right, I'm taking you up on that. I want to be in the kitchen and watch you. Can I watch you?
We will cook one together.
That's great. I'm taking you up on that. We're going to take a camera, so we're going to post it on America Tonight's website. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Have a great night.
You too. All right, how about that? Do you hear that steak? I love it. And see, this is what I've been doing wrong the whole time. How many of you guys, come on, how many men are listening to me, your grillers? Do you leave your steak out first? No. You take it out of the refrigerator, throw it on a plate. Maybe it's out there a couple of minutes, and then poof, voila. Ugh. Can you imagine? Started when you were 13 years old, but that's that family business thing where you just, you know, you just are raised in it and you don't know any better, so you foolishly go in the same direction. No, it sounds like a lot of fun. Stay with us.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
In today's world, a product comes along that revolutionizes the way we live, work, and play.
MaxFit makes your hands go wow. MaxFit makes your hands go wow.
MaxFit Gloves is the next generation of Fin Glove technology
and makes everything you do with your hands feel easier without losing the ability to touch and feel.
Wow!
Whether you're working in your garden, moving furniture, driving a car, or opening a jar, MaxFit has thousands of uses.
It helps the grip of arthritic hands.
It even helps me play my video games better.
Wow!
From the moment you slip your hand into a MaxFit Glove, you'll experience the ultimate in grip, comfort, dexterity, and health.
MaxFit.
For more information on the next generation
generation of thin glove technology, go to maxfitgloves.com. That's maxfitgloves.com. And use the promo code radio to get a special deal.
Wow. Maxfit makes your hands go.
Wow.
Did you rob Bill Gates? DidYouRobBillGates.com is a worldwide internet system that can bring you both immediate cash and long-term passive residual income, earning thousands of U.S. dollars every single week. This automated system works for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the planet, without inventory, shipping, billing, selling, or credit stress. Powerful and effective, our co-op marketing program works for us, and now it can work for you as well. DidYouRobBillGates.com is your global system for real success. Time to enjoy your life. Time to enjoy your family, travel, sports, fun. Bring the perks back to your life. Moms and dads worldwide, even those with zero experience, all plug in and watch in amazement as DidYouRobBillGates.com delivers success and abundance to their lives. Now, no matter where on earth you live, get to DidYouRobBillGates.com right now. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-7201. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. 1-800-257-7201.
Of this lunatic walking up and shooting two officers outside the Pentagon, to how to salt and pepper your steak and leave it out for an hour so that it tastes a lot better, from a guy who's been in the restaurant business his whole life. I'm going to try that tip out. That's probably been my problem. Sometimes, see, I always think it's a cut of meat, and as he said, it is, but I'm probably not leaving it out long enough. I mean, that's probably part of the problem, because I just take it right from the fridge. So here we are in America Tonight, and it's a big weekend, and we swing into yet another week after that as we get closer to the finality of will we have a new health care reform policy to refer to in this country, or better yet, gripe about. How's that? And maybe that you don't feel that way. Coming up on Sunday, we're going to talk to a top doc who has his own thoughts about healthcare reform and where we need to go with things. That's going to be an interesting show. So that's on our Sunday into Monday show here on America Tonight. Obama is working the phone lines, and he should be, because this is his agenda. There's no question about it. So the president, I guess, pulled in-house about a dozen or so House Democrats, really pleading to them to put the qualms, the concerns, all of that aside and vote for health care overhaul. I guess the way he sums it up is, it's in his point of view, from his point of view, it's the opportunity of a generation and a chance to revive the Democrats' agenda after his really first year in office, he didn't use the word rough, but his first year in office to get something done. And you got these rank and file guys and gals and progressives who are not happy at what's being proposed because it doesn't go far enough for their liking. There is no public option, the so-called public option. So what those who were in the Roosevelt room, because that's where they all met, said that the president patted them on the back pretty much and assured them that this was just the first step and that there was more work to be done in the future to improve its provisions. That is what scares me. Okay, here's the basic framework. Let's just get this health care. We got 2 weeks. Let's get this thing. Let's get on board. House, Senate, boom. Reconciliation, that's fine. Forget the GOP. Let's get this done. And we can work on what everybody else is upset about as we go along. We can add things to that. We can put other things in and mess with it once it's through. Once it's through, we'll be able to do that. And there's no doubt that there is massive pressure now on those centrist Democrats to swing the way of the party. They're cranking up the pressure big time to try to get the votes in the two-week period. Have this happen, get this done. Approve it by March 18th, because March 18th is when the president leaves for a big Asian trip. So then he would be able to come back, sign it into law, and then that's it. But the problem is some of those centrist Democrats realize by their phone lines ringing off the hook, the faxes, the emails, all that stuff, that their constituents aren't happy about it, or at least enough of them aren't happy about it, that it could be tricky in an election year because all the House seats are up and a bunch of the Senate seats are up. So let's just take the House. So if all the House seats are up, well, you know, hey, you don't go, you vote for this legislation and John, Paul, Mary, Jake, and Andy down the street and all their kids, geez, they feel like they got slighted by you, but hey, you supported the party, you're not going to be elected again. And I think there's going to be some big changes come those midterm elections. So this is kind of the wooing factor. That's what you do when you're the man in charge. He's wooing his own party to push this thing forward, to get his signature on it, to get everyone on board. And, it's interesting. I truly can say, gauging on my conversations with people in the healthcare industry, people we've had on the show, people we haven't had on the show, people who are inside the hallowed halls on the Capitol, that I'm not really sure. This is like a wild dice game in the dark alleys in the Bronx. I mean, I'm not sure which way the dice are going to really roll out here. The outcome is so huge for all of us as Americans, but I can't make a prediction on this because it just depends on, I mean, honestly, who I talk to. There isn't a clear path on this one. There really isn't. Every day, I mean, almost every hour, it's changing. And this is why, and you can tell that that's happening, this is why the president had that meeting. Why certain Democrats are invited up and why they're being pressured. And the people in their hometowns and suburbs and whatever that they represent are cranking up the pressure, too. And it's hard to tell. A lot of people that have the power of the vote on this one, in the House especially, while they're being vocal, some of them are being vocal, a lot of them are kind of playing it close to the vest. And you have to, it comes down to numbers. Follow the money. It comes down to numbers. So if there's not enough numbers, it doesn't matter what the president says. Hey, somebody's elected, they can vote their own way. And does somebody that's in the centrist category, do they vote against the party for the sake of saving their own hide in an election year knowing that it's 50-50 that they just might not get elected again if they vote for this. So with this current strategy, too, and we know this, but I'll hammer it home one more time. If you're driving down the highway somewhere in America and you're not clear on it, the Dems want Congress to send that $1 trillion health overhaul that the Senate passed in December, plus send this to the president, plus a separate bill making changes that the House Democrats want. But they're still there, not even a clear decision on exactly what the second piece of legislation or measure, whatever you want to call it, is going to look like. So there were 16 congressmen and women who met with the president, and they said that when some of them were questioned afterwards, that the president told them he understands the shortcomings of the package, like I said before. But this is the approach. This is the way to get it done. Get it through, then put all the other stuff in there. Then worry about things that you think are missing. But once we get it through, then we can worry about that. And that's my problem with this. We got all this vague legislation that's flying around to not even know really what's in there. We don't know what's in there. The basics, yes, we do. But all the other stuff, no, we don't. So when it's all said and done, you know, are there going to be enough votes to pass health care reform? Some in the House are very cautious about those predictions and about the prospects for it, which is definitely going to be opposed by Republicans. Any of the Republicans that can be found on the Hill will say no to this. And there's nothing concrete. So they're talking about this March 18th House vote, that it was possible. I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm going to be in New York when this March 18th, when this House vote comes up. There's not going to be a House vote on this. They're not going to get there. Yes, they would like this. They're not going to get to that. It's going to be delayed another week, another 2 weeks after that, probably. They're not going to have, I just don't think they're going to have the support to push it through. I can tell you this. The second they get the support, let's go to vote right now. You know what? We got the last vote in the House. We know we are short of it. We're voting now. We're racing to the space right this second. And here's an example. I read a quote from this Congresswoman, Dina Titus, from Nevada, who's a freshman in the House. And she supported an earlier version of the bill, but now she's undecided. And why is she undecided? Because she's smart enough to realize she doesn't know what the final measure is going to look like and has questions about it. And she says what I just told you, that in her district, there's a great deal of uncertainty. So I want to know why, when I hear other people talking about that the majority of Americans want this, what are they talking about? If I go out and do what they call a man on the street and ask people, do you want health care? Do you want some changes in health care? Everyone's probably going to say yes. But do you want what currently is being proposed? Does that make sense to anyone out there? You make heads or tails out of what I was just talking about? 800-259-5791. We're always going to be having this discussion here on health care. And like I said, we'll crank it up again on Sunday when we speak to yet another doctor about it. Yay or nay for what Obama's proposing. 800-259-5791. You can throw in your thoughts. We got odds and ends coming up around the bend.
For safety, you lock doors, set alarms, buy antivirus software, maybe even have a watchdog. Do you care as much about your air and water? Lock out harmful poisons from entering your body with airandaqua.com. Using purification devices from airandaqua.com allows you to enjoy safety and security with every breath you make and every sip you take. For free shipping on purchases, discounts, and newsletters, visit airandaqua.com or call 866-380-2782. Shop airandaqua.com and purify your life.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
A revolution in smoking is underway, a revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
On that deal outside the Pentagon, a guy walks up, calm, cool, collected, steely-eyed, as he was described, sort of lifeless, no expression in the face, starts shooting. Immediately, alert as they are, the officers there are able to return the fire quickly, and that shooting suspect has died. The medical examiner just releasing that. The Pentagon shooter has died, so will they be able to uncover, they being the FBI, Secret Service, and others involved in this, the reasons behind this act? We'll have to see, or if something else comes out, or if there really were, in fact, some other people involved in this, and it might have been some kind of a terrorist act. There are some theories floating around and rumors, and maybe some of it's fact. But there's nothing hardcore that you can nail to the wall yet, or at least that I can nail to the wall yet at this point, only some pieces here and there. I think I said this before. I've got a source at the Pentagon, and he knows very little on this either, or being away from the building and getting a lot of those rumors, but trying to separate what's rumor and what really has some legs. This has some legs, though. A convicted sex offender charged with murdering Chelsea King, that pretty 14-year-old girl, a teenager, is under investigation, or was under investigation, last year's disappearance of another girl. So, or Chelsea King, 17. He was also being investigated in a disappearance of another girl who was 14. So John Robert Gardner III is behind bars a day after he pled, of course, not guilty to slaughtering the 17-year-old. The sheriff believes a body found in this shallow grave on the shore of Lake Hodges is King, but you know they're so careful about that, and it's almost pretty much fact. But the medical examiner's office has to officially say, yeah, that's the identity. So this guy, once described by a psychiatrist as a threat to underage girls, was already under scrutiny in a couple of other cases. I mean, I hate to hear about this stuff. So you have a guy who had already been in prison for something he had done, but served less than half of what he was sentenced to. And then, you know, this happens with this 17-year-old girl, and the guy was already suspected for a couple of other things. Some similarities were obvious, so that's what the police are saying. And who knows now what they'll be able to nail him for. And what happened was, in one of the cases that he's suspected in, a 16-year-old girl said that she was lucky she got away after a guy asked her for directions, then tried to force her into a car at gunpoint. And this was about 75 miles from the place where King's body disappeared. And the description fits the description of Gardner, the guy they have in jail right now, who says he's not guilty of murdering the 17-year-old King. So this is your garden variety, maybe not even garden variety, but I'll label it as such, sex offender, who he was registered as living in San Diego County, and he hadn't come onto the radar of the folks there until January, I suppose, is what they're now saying. And he was in this one spot. He lived in the town where the 14-year-old vanished when she was walking to high school about a year ago. He lived about 2 miles from the school, so they're investigating him in connection with her disappearance. And now you've got the 17-year-old, and he's somebody who pled not guilty to assault with intent to commit rape in connection with another attack on a 22-year-old jogger at the same park where he apparently might have grabbed this 14-year-old. This is crazy. So if you can follow the sketchy things I'm throwing out here, bottom line is the guy pled guilty in 2000 to molesting a 13-year-old neighbor girl. He served 5 years of his prison term. A court-appointed psychiatrist who talked to him recommended that he get a stiffer sentence. He didn't. I mean, flat out, the doctor called him a poor candidate for therapy and a continued danger to underage girls in the community. What more do you want? You want an expert, you want their opinion, they give the opinion, and the guy gets out of jail. So he gets out of jail, and now he may have killed two young girls, one 14, one 17, and almost killed another one in the mix of it. Threatened her, but she was able to get away. Just insanity. It should be stiffer laws, and I know people will jump all over me about this, and that's fine. You know where to send those notes, americatonight.net. I just cannot have enough sympathy for the victims and their family. It seems like it's all about, at times, protecting the criminals' rights. And you want these experts, they give you the opinion, you ignore the opinion, and look what happens. And look at the repeat offenders, and then how violent they get when they get out of prison. Especially in his case, what he was known for. Oof. All right, for something completely different but relatable, I think, when you're talking about young girls, Facebook. The whole thing with Facebook has opened up crazy things now. in the legal field. And the latest deal is a Missouri father thinks his daughter's First Amendment rights were actually violated for being punished for comments she posted about a classmate, about a fellow female classmate. The girl's name is Megan Wisemore, and she used swear words to comment about another girl at her high school on a very visible Facebook. In response to the comments, the girl kicked her in the head and other parts of her body and punched her, you know, beat her up, basically. So her father said she was taken by ambulance to the hospital. She was suspended for 3 days over the comments. The other girl was suspended for 5 days. But he's saying his daughter shouldn't be punished for the comments she made while not in school, and also threw in that she didn't name the student on the Facebook posting, which she didn't. So she, you know, if you went to that school, maybe you would know who it was, but she didn't use a name or a nickname or any of that sort of stuff. But what's interesting, this happened in Missouri, and there in Missouri, they've got court decisions that you can throw all the way back to the 40s that say school districts have the right to discipline off-campus actions if there's a connection between that and a disruption to the educational process. I'm sure that there have been other incidents like this that people have had to deal with. In fact, I heard of one recently in my own neck of the woods where a young boy had written something about a teacher on the Facebook and was outside of school and said some things about the school, and he got suspended. He didn't, I don't think he named names like the teacher specifically, but everybody would have known who it was. And that's a teacher attack. But, it does seem fair in one sense that if there's something off campus that massively affects things in the school, and I mean, it's kind of loose, that description of a disruption to the educational process, because boy, you could interpret that in a lot of ways. But it does seem fair in one sense that you can't have that going on. But at the same time, I mean, the girl supposedly was beat to a pulp over the Facebook deal. So, you know, who's right in that case? It's a very interesting fair or foul, and it's an interesting look at First Amendment rights. This guy's father is going to say that his daughter's First Amendment rights were violated and is going to go after these people at this district pretty hard. And this will be a fun case to watch to see where it ends up, if it goes all the way to the top or where it stops. You can always send me your thoughts on the show and some of the stuff that we've talked about at AmericaTonight.net.
I want one to be accused of taking part in a rumble.